Today's message is going to be entitled The Ultimate Christmas Gift. The Ultimate Christmas Gift. I expect that by now, most, if not all of you, have been asked what you want for Christmas. By somebody. Somebody's probably asked you that question. Maybe you were even asked to make a Christmas list. Now, I've seen all kinds of Christmas lists in my time, but most of them have just been scraps of paper, you know, with handwritten suggestions as to what one might want or really are convinced they can't live without. And so they just jot some things down. We often ask our children, our grandchildren, sometimes their parents, for a Christmas list for the kids. Sometimes it's texted to us these days. So it can come in various ways. A few of the lists I've seen over the years, though, have been typed and itemized. And, you know, even like the 1 to 10 thing, where number 1 is what I want most in all the world. And then number 2, well, that's second. And then third, and all the way down. All listed like that. I've even had at least one that was color-coded and had notifications by each item as to where they could be found, what store they could be found at, you know, where they saw them. And my grandson actually once cut out pictures from the ads attached just so we would know what he was talking about. Now, I just heard, matter of fact, Friday night, that there's some of you still do that. You actually want to make sure parents, grandparents, whoever, they know what it is you want. So it's the right style, the right color, right thing. Some people, I can't hardly believe that an adult would still do that. Of course, now, we don't always get what we want, even though we make our list. In fact, we're sometimes as disappointed, perhaps, as this little guy seems to be. Imagine that. You ask for something really special and you get a fruitcake. I mean, that would be very disappointing, I would think, for some children. Some of you, how many of you have fruitcake on your list? I'd just be interested. That's interesting. Fruitcake is like one of the number one things that people, you have that on your list?
Yes.
You do. Okay. But she's being specific. Did you put a picture with it, Kathy? So people will know. My goodness. Okay. My daughters are alike in a whole lot of ways, but they're different as night and day in others. And that would surely be the case with Christmas lists. When we were overseas, we had a particularly tight budget. And though we saved for it, we also had to watch our pennies at Christmas time. So we'd tell the girls how much we were planning to spend for their gifts and ask them to compose again that list for us of what they wanted. Now, both of them were trying to get bang for their bucks, okay? They really were. But they compiled their lists in different ways. Mandy, my oldest, she was one who wanted the big ticket item. You with me? She would want something that she couldn't afford to buy for herself with the little income she got from working at the corner store. So she'd go for a big ticket item. She'd try to find out what is that thing that she wanted that was in that price range and would be pushing the envelope, and hopefully maybe on sale we'd get it for just that price. One year, you know, it was a telly, a TV for her room. She wasn't even specific about, you know, the brand name, but, you know, the size had to be big enough, the screen that she could see it from her bed, and it had to have remote control. But beyond that, that was about it. Another year, she wanted the stereo for her room. You know, that she wanted that big ticket item. That's what she was asking for. And my wife, Nina, would remind her that, you know what, if we get that for you, that might be the only thing you get. But that would be okay with her, as long as she got that big ticket item. Sarah, on the other hand, my younger daughter, she's into quantity. Not quality necessarily. Not necessarily that she wants 100 things from the dollar store, but she does want a lot of presents under the tree. She has great joy in unwrapping them. I'll talk about that somewhat maybe on Christmas Eve. She finds great joy in just the excitement of trying to decipher what's in each box, you know, and to unwrap them. And what's the next one? What's the next one? So she wants a lot. Point is, they both had their lists and things that were important to them. And we have our list too, don't we? What if you could only have one gift for Christmas? What if you could only have one? What would it be? What if you were told this was going to be your last Christmas? You only have one gift. What would it be? What if this was going to be your only Christmas? Not necessarily your last one, but the only one where you would ever get a gift. What would you ask for? What would it be? What would it be? Through the centuries, God's children ask Him for many things. But rather than what we'd call a Christmas list, they put them on a prayer list. Sometimes they ask for stuff. Gold and jewelry and property. Sometimes they just ask for enough food to make it through a time of famine. When they were enslaved, and there were times when they were, guess what was number one on their list? Freedom. There were others who, because of their particular circumstance or situation, what they were going through, what they were dealing with, there were things that made it to the top of their list. Barren women, sometimes all they wanted was a child. Orphan children, all they wanted was a family. Just someone who would love them, accept them, care for them. Many of them, like many of us, though, it would be health at the top of our list because of some health concern or wealth. A few ask for these things, a few ask for all of these things, and more. Often, Father God, in His graciousness and His goodness, delivered on the goods. Exactly what was on their list is what they got, what they asked for, what they cried out for, He gave them. But again, sometimes they didn't get exactly what they asked for. In fact, it wasn't anything even close to, in their minds, what they'd asked for. But He always gave them what they needed, even if they didn't realize it was needed. And in those cases, it was rarely appreciated what He gave them. They would be about like that child who the grandparent gets them a savings bond for their college fund, but the child is 5 or 6. Do they appreciate that at the time? Probably not. They don't understand the value of the gift at the time, how much it's going to mean to them at the time. So they dismiss it. But the time will come, right, when they are very thankful and appreciative for the gift. Father God did that many times. He blessed them with something they weren't asking for and something that they didn't even realize they needed or that they would need. But Father God was so good and so gracious that He didn't always give them what they wanted, but what He knew they needed most. There were occasions when the reason that He withheld the desire of their heart was because it wasn't good for them, but other times it was because they were on His naughty list. You know God has a naughty list? He does. If you don't believe that, read your Old Testament again and read where God's people sometimes cried out for something, but because they were on the naughty list, he did not answer them. He did not give them what they were asking for, at least not then. They were rebellious. They were resentful. They turned from him. They didn't listen to him. They didn't want a relationship with him. They wouldn't even come home for Christmas time. But they expected him to bless them with whatever they wanted as long as he didn't meddle in their lives. Can you relate to that at all? Yet, Father God loved his children still. And though he might have withheld something for the moment or for the time for some reason that they didn't understand or for some reason they should have perfectly understood, he still cared for them. He still wanted to bless them. And though his children so often fell so far short of his glory, he never removed them from his list entirely. God has a Christmas list. Even at their worst, our Heavenly Father purposed in his heart to give his children all that they hope for and more. Those who are born again are forever on God's Christmas list. That's good news. In a few minutes, talk about that more. Again, he didn't always give his children all the things on their list, but he did choose to give them the one thing that they needed most of all, but never thought to ask for. In this one gift, we can find all that we have ever dreamed of as well. The ultimate gift, it's God's one and only Son. You knew that, didn't you? Or at least we give that as the answer when we're asked. We know that's the expected answer. But do we really understand how precious and marvelous and wonderful is this gift from the Father? Jesus, God's one and only Son, is the ultimate gift. Why? Well, because in Jesus, there's the freedom they asked for. There was the health they hoped for. All the happiness they longed for. In Jesus, there was an eternal home in heaven. In Jesus, there's a reserved place at the Father's table, never to go hungry again. In Jesus, there's loving relationships that endure forever. As I've already hinted time and again, the good news is that more important than these things being on our Christmas list is that we're on his Christmas list. Rather than send temporary relief, he sent an eternal answer. He sent Jesus. Rather than just dispatch a messenger with a care package, he sent a limo to pick up his children and bring them home. No more worry about where we'll sleep or where our next meal will come from. No more concern about how to make ends meet. No more sickness or pain, burden or strain. No more worry or woe. No more torment or tears. No more anxiety. No more fears. Wow. He could have sent something to take care of their temporary need, but he didn't want just to alleviate their present problems. He wanted them to come and live with him forever, where there would be no problems ever again. But for that to happen, for that to be possible, it was going to take more than Jesus being born in a manger. He had to die on a cross. He had to suffer and endure the problems and difficulties and heartache and pain that we endure, enable to relieve us of those things. And not just for a time, but for eternity. I can't stress enough that we aren't merely on a list of God's to be given things. We're not even just on a list to be given Jesus. We are on a list because God wants us. I'll say that again. What God wants for Christmas is us. If he were to make out a Christmas list of who he wants to give gifts, we'd all be on it. If he would make out a list of what he wants for Christmas, we'd all be on it. Amen? That's good news. That's what he wants most, is us. Not even gifts from us. He wants us. He doesn't want to just give us stuff. He wants us.
Isaiah 49, 15 through 16, tells me that God's Christmas list isn't written on paper, but it's written on flesh. In response to those who felt forsaken by him, the Lord said this, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands." Hear that. God's children are on his list, and his list is written, not on paper, but on the palms of his hand. He won't forget us. Have any of you ever been making out your Christmas list of people to buy a gift for, to get a gift for, and it occurred to you at the last minute, or maybe even too late, that you forgot somebody? Fess up. You ever done that? I forgot somebody. And you know what we do a lot of times? We even buy extra little gifts because we know that we're just liable to forget somebody. Guess what Father God will never do? He'll never forget you. You are inscribed on his list. The ultimate gift he has for you is Jesus. The ultimate gift he wants from you is you. And our names weren't scrawled, even with pen and ink, on the palms of his hands, but with a nail dipped in blood. It had been prophesied in Isaiah 9:6 that the Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace. We sang about that. His name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, we are assured that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. For our sins, he was crushed. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we're healed. We're on his list. We are the ultimate gift for the Father because he gave us the ultimate gift of Jesus. We have the opportunity, the ability to give ourselves back to him. That's what he wants. That's what he's always wanted. Hear me, that's all he's wanted. All he's ever wanted. God has a Christmas list. And everyone in the world is on it. The list to receive the gift of Jesus. But the reality is, too, that everyone is on it because he wants them to be the gift back to him, the gift he wants to receive. He wants all of us to receive the ultimate gift of His Son. He wants for all of us to be the ultimate gift in return to Him. It's what He asks for, not just for Christmas, but for eternity. If you've accepted His gift of love, your name is on that special list to be received in the Father's arms. What an awesome thing to consider. I want you to imagine your name permanently on God's list. Your name on the Father's list. Wow. How awesome is that? To think that God would consider you and me in all eternity and all the vast humanity, that He would consider you personally, me personally, as someone that He loves, that He desires an eternal relationship with, so much so that He would pay the ultimate price for the ultimate gift to be given to us so that we can give back to Him the ultimate gift that He wants, ourselves. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name. We don't deserve You to even consider us, let alone to love us as You do. To be as gracious as You are. To have purpose from even the beginning of the world to send the ultimate gift that we needed. Maybe a gift we didn't think about, maybe a gift we didn't ask for, but a gift we so desperately needed was Jesus to pay for our sins, for Him to lay down His life, for Him to be pierced, for Him to die, so that we can live. Thank You, God. And God, we don't have much we can bring in return in comparison to that. We look at ourselves, we look at our lives, we look at what we have, what we possess, and though we're very blessed, and though there are good things that we thank You for, God, at the end of the day, we have nothing to give to You like You've given to us. Nothing. And then You tell us all You want is us. Thank You, God. Thank You for that reminder today. In Jesus' name.